Good morning to everybody. Boker Tov. It's good to see everybody here today. If I could ask everyone to take a seat. I'd like to thank our sponsors for the my shiur today. They have a few names to read out. So the shiur is sponsored, the Wednesday morning Beit Midrash is sponsored here. Leilu Nishmois Daniel ben David and Limud bat Avram Strauss and Mordechai ben Moshe and Reisel ben Bat Yosef Meir Marcus, Zichron and Yivracha, the parents of Judy and Menachem Marcus. That's the whole morning. And my shiur here is sponsored for the academic year. Leilu Nishmois Branabas Brandit and Zelik ben Kalman, Zichron and Yivracha. And Amy and Ephraim Basson have also sponsored, dedicated the shiur in honor of their 10th Aliyah-versary, which is very exciting. So we wish them a continued klita tova, and everything should be successful in every way. And I'd like to also thank our sponsor, the shiur is also sponsored, Le'ilu Nishmas Jared Bienenfeld, the yotzeit of Howard Bienenfeld's son, which is the 10th of Adar, coming up in a couple of days. Now, we have a topic today which is, hopefully will be both enlightening and also a little bit entertaining. We have a Purim discussion, and I hope to bring some new sources on this that you may not have heard before. Some of them you will be familiar with, but we'll hopefully put them in a context and structure, and bring some new ones that you may not have heard. So everybody knows that there is a mitzvah to feast and to drink on Purim, and it is based on the psukim that we will start with in number one. But what exactly the parameters of that mitzvah are is sometimes not always understood. So let's start with the psukim. Al kein, therefore, hayudim aprazim hayushvim ba'arei aprazot. So those Jews living in the open, unwalled cities. Osim et yom arba asal chodesh adar. They keep the 14th. Simcha umishte v'yontzev. Three things. Simcha, Mishta, and Yomtev. And of course, Mishloach Monos Ish L'Riehu. No mention there of Matanos L'Evyonim. Interestingly, I noticed that the Netziv, I didn't bring it on the sheet. Maybe it was the Torah Tamima. Could be the Torah Tamima. Brings down that it doesn't mention Matanos L'Evyonim because mention of the word Yomtev should trigger off in everybody's minds the automatic need to give Matanos L'Evyonim. All you need to say is Yomtev, and people realize, oh, of course, we have to help the poor to keep it because it's a yontzev, interestingly. So that's the Yudim HaProzim. V'yichtav Mordechai et dvarim ha'eile v'yishlach svarim ha'koi Yudim asher b'chol medinot ha'melech ha'chashvei rosh ha'krovim v'haruchukim. All of the medinot received this message. L'kayem aleim liyozeisim et yom arba asa l'chodesh adar v'et yom chamisha asa bo, so the 14th and the 15th, v'chol shana v'shana. Just like we rested from our enemies on these 2 days, and the month that was turned from mourning into rejoicing, from sadness to rejoicing, from mourning to yontev, and now we have a new mitzvah, repeat, Yimei Mishte V'Simcha, U'Mishloach Manas Ish L'Re'eh U'Matanas L'Evyonim. And then, of course, like I said before, it doesn't say Yontef, so it adds in Matanos L'Evyonim. Why the repeat of the words Simcha U'Mishta, and then Mishta V'Simcha? What's going on? We said those twice now in different orders. So the first thing the Gemara picks up on in Megillah is, perhaps a little surprisingly, that the words Simcha U'Mishta don't mean that you have to eat on Purim. We'll get there in a minute, that you do. But look at number two. Simcha u'mishta v'yontev, says the Gemara. Simcha, melamed she'asurim behesped. It means that you're not allowed to give eulogies, hespedim, on, if lo'aleinu, somebody has a funeral on Purim. Mishta, and feasting, means what? Melamed she'asa b'tarnit. In case you thought that mishta was going to mean you have to, you know, rejoice with wine and make merry. No, it means you're not allowed to fast. V'yontev, melamed she'asa b'asiyas melocha. Now already you'll think to yourself, well, Purim is not prohibited in doing malacha, so do we paskin like this statement? In fact, Purim is a day on which you're allowed to do technical malacha, but you're strongly encouraged not to go to work. not to do what malacha that will distract you, if you like, from the nature of the day. A little parallel to Tisha B'Av, another day on which it's technically permitted to do malacha, malechet, the machshevet that you'd have on Shabbat, but you're encouraged to not work so that you don't forget the nature of the day. However, the Gemara in Pesachim, and this is why, in order to get to the halacha from the Gemara, you always have to, you know, be concerned that there's a little statement somewhere in the middle of a completely unexpected place that is going to change the whole nature of the debate. The Gemara in Pesachim says that kol moedim, but everybody agrees when it's talking about lachem and lashem. Do we dedicate the feast days and Yom Tovim to ourselves, to our families, or do we dedicate them to God? And it's a combination. Hakol Maidin Bapurim Debaina Namilachem. Because everybody agrees that on Purim there has to be not just Lashem, but also Lachem. It says Rashi, what does that mean? Sheyismachbo, that we should be happy on Purim, Bamak Mamachal Ubamishta. Okay? We have to feast on Purim with food, with drink. My time, how do we know this? Yemei Mishta V'Simcha, because it says again, a second time, Yemei Mishta V'Simcha. So we have two statements. One of them is to tell us we're not allowed to fast, and one of them is to tell us that we not only don't fast, but we actually enhance the food and the drink of the day, and we'll see that the Rambam really picks up on that, and we'll see his position soon. Okay, we can drink, we should drink. Do we have to get drunk? Now, I'm sure that the audience here is a very moderate and focused audience. I don't know if everybody was always so in years gone by, but nevertheless, we will see that there are a number of different opinions. First of all, let's see the Gemara, and let's see what we can do with the Gemara. Number four, the famous Gemara. I'm a Rava. Rava says, "Mechayev inish livasume bapuria." A person has to live a sume. Now, that's already an interesting phrase. First of all, mechayev inish is interesting in and of itself. It's a very unusual expression, mechayev inish. It doesn't say chayev. Now, okay, you could say it's colloquial, it comes up only in one other place I could find in the Gemara when it talks about going to greet your Rav on Yom Tov. But maybe it's a little bit different to chayev. Mechayev, you stand in a state of obligation as opposed to specifically, but I can't guarantee that. However, the word livasume is highly unusual. There is a word in Hebrew for to get drunk, and it's lishdaker, from shikur. Now Rashi immediately jumps in and says, okay, that's what it means. Chayiv inish livasume, chayiv inish livasume, Rashi, lishdaker bayayin. You have to get drunk on wine. But it's not obvious that that's what the word means. Because bosem, livasume, bosem doesn't normally mean drunk. We'll see that there is a word in Aramaic for drunk. We'll see that afterwards. But bosem normally means a little bit sort of high we'll see what high means, not in a kind of induced drug sense, but a little sort of excited and pleasant and sweet, fragrant. Bosem, of course, is perfume. So it's not obvious that this word means drink. And also people quote this line without mentioning, which we're going to mention soon, that just 16 words before this is another use of the word livasume, which obviously informs this use, which means something quite different from to get drunk. And the word is only used three times in Shas in this context, and the fact that they come together in Megillah, we have to look at the other one. So we'll put on hold what else might livasume mean, and we'll go with Rashi for now. Ishtake b'yan b'puria. Okay, we'll have to unpack that until he doesn't know the difference between Aram Haman and Baruch Mordechai. And here's the story. Rabba the Rebbe Zera. Rabba and Rebbe Zera. Now, Rabba is different from Rava. Rava lived a generation after Rabba. However, there are some girsa'ot that have at the beginning of this statement that we read, not Amar Rava, but Amar Rabba. The same person about whom this story we're going to read happened, okay, to whom this story happened. But even if it's Rava is a generation later looking back on this story, we'll have to see what it means. Says the story as follows. Rabba v'Rebbe Zera avdu sudas purim b'hadi hadadi. Rabba and Rebbe Zera had a purim suda together. Ifsum, and they did this mitzvah, they were livasume. They became, let's say, drunk. Kam Rabba, then Rabba got up, shachte the Rebbe Zera, and he shechted Rebbe Zera. We'll get to soon what that might mean. Lemachar, the next morning when they'd all calmed down, Goy Rachmi, he davened for him, Ve'echye, and he came back to life. Leshana, next year, Amalei. So Rabbi says to Rabbi Zera, Neisimar v'navid sudas Purim adi adadi. Let's do Purim again. Purim is, it's gewaldic. You know, last year was a blast. Okay? Amalei, Rabbi Zera responded to him, Lo b'chol shaita v'shaita misrachesh nisa. You can't always guarantee that a miracle is going to happen. Okay? Last year was last year. Let's not do Purim together this year. And we have to work out what that means. What is that story telling us? How is that story, how does it relate to the statement of Rava? Does it mean don't get drunk? Does it mean yes, get drunk? We'll see in a minute. So first of all, before you get too upset about Shechte, I want to show you the Marasha, number 5. Kam Rabbi Shechte Rabbi Zera. Dava Tamuahu. This is very strange, says the Marasha. Lefarsho Kapashte. Are you going to explain it literally? He literally killed him? I don't think so, he said. Venire de Rotsaloma, what does it mean? Is Ka'ein Shechte. He almost killed him. De Igbarichamu, because he made him drink wine. The kafya, and he kind of gave him the, encouraged him, another one. Lishtop yoteramidai, to drink way too much. Ad shechala, until he got sick, okay, and he passed out. Venata lamut, and he was like, it looked as though he was dying. Ulakach nakte beloshen shechti, and that's why he uses the word shechti. Why doesn't it say he killed him? La rog, or something like that. He says, Shechte, Shechte dim. He says, B'shechte dim, de shtiat yayin nikra al shem hagaron. Because Shechte dim is it, he killed him in his throat, because he was another one. The wine's going down his throat. Makam shchita, that's the makam shchita. Uka amre, when it says that he t'palel ala, that he prayed for him, shelo yamut, that he shouldn't die. Michoile, he shouldn't die from the sickness. Michoile zeh, ad she nitrape v'chai. I mean, he didn't bring him back to life, do Tchias HaMesim. He davened that he should, you know, come round, and he came round the next morning, and he kind of nursed him back. Umatzino, he said, we find them in Mikra Uba Talmud, Lashon Chai, we find many times the language of Chai Lachayot, Lichyot is Miloshon Refuah. It means Refuah.
Why then does he use the term Nesim anymore?
Because he was so drunk. People don't come round from this kind of alcohol poisoning without a hospital visit. Okay, but he was, yeah, dead drunk. I like it, yeah, that's a good, interesting. He was like past normal drunk. He was worried that he was not going to make it. Okay, so, but either way, he didn't want to come back the next year for Purim. So what do we learn from that? So we are going to see 3 groups of Meforshim. One group that says that the statement, Chayev Inish Levesumig Puria, is literal. It means to get drunk. It means to get drunk. And that's the halacha. Another group will say, yes, it means to get drunk, and this story is telling us it's not the halacha. And the third group, which I think is the most interesting, is you've missed the whole point. It doesn't mean, and it never meant, to get drunk. It means something completely different, which we'll see at the end, please God. We have to make sure we leave enough time to do the sources at the end. Okay, so I might skip a few, but we'll see how it goes. First of all, 2 radically different ways of reading the story. Look at number 6 and 7. Number six is the Ran. The Ran on Megillah. Both of these Rishonim who interpret this story. He quotes, V'kasav Rabbeinu Ephraim. Rabbeinu Ephraim was an early Rishon lived in, a student of the Rif. So an early Rishon living in North Africa. And he quotes him and he says, Mehahu Ubda, Dekam Rabba, V'shachde L'Rabbi Zera, from this story that Rabba came and killed someone on Purim Sodah, or almost did. Itchilei Meimra de Rava. This shows you that we're pushing away the statement of Rava. We don't paskin like this. V'loi shapedam elam v'kachi. And it's not right to do that. Meaning, there was a suggestion, Chayiv inish livasumi b'puria, and this story shows you, we don't follow that. It's dangerous. Don't do it. Don't even try it. We reject that as the halacha. Comes along the Eshkol.
Is it the Rif?
I'll bring you the Rif in a minute. The Rif brings it, and the Ram says no. Okay? We'll see. The Rif brings the statement, and the Ram brings the Rif's Talmud that disagreed with his Rebbe. Correct. We'll see that there's a lot of disagreement on this issue. We see Rebbes who get drunk and Talmudim who don't, and Talmudim who get drunk and the Rebbes say they shouldn't. And we'll see, it's very interesting. Number 7, says the Eshkol, V'li'akosav nira. I think this story is telling us something quite different. D'mikan raya. From here, you have, from this story, you have a proof. D'tzarich livasumi, that you have to get drunk. Why? De'iloi, because if not, have a leila meima. He should have said to him, Rabbi Zeira could have turned around to him and said, you know something? Let's have Purim Suda together, but let's just not get drunk. Because the Purim Suda was lovely, but the drinking was a disaster. The fact that that was not even an option. He couldn't say, let's do Suda without drinking. You learn from that. You have to drink. So have a leila meima, never Suda b'hadi hadari v'loi nifsum. And he couldn't. So it's interesting, you can read, there's a classic Talmudic way, you can read this story in both ways. You can either say the story proves how dangerous it is to get drunk, or the story proves how necessary it is to get drunk, so he wasn't going to do it with Rabba because he's a bit too wild. Okay, he'll get drunk with someone else. And everyone has Purim stories of, one of my favorites is one of my Rabbonim in London. There was a big ruckus in the, you know, the neighborhood in Golders Green, everyone's drinking on Purim and dancing around, and a policeman came, the road had been closed off by the police so that the Jews could do Purim together in Golders Green. The policeman came and said, like, what's going on here? And they said, well, the Jews have got a holiday. He goes, what's it all about? He goes, I don't know, there's a rabbi. Go and ask the rabbi, number 42, and you'll see him. So the policeman goes down, and everyone's in full Purim Suda mode. And as he walks in, everyone's going, whoa, you're dressed as a policeman. That's amazing. And he sits down, and his little radio goes, where did you get that? That's amazing. That it's so authentic. Okay, so the policeman's like, you know. So everyone has their stories. I've been to many Purim Sudas, different types. We went once to dine Chanuch Aaron Troy Zichron Livracha in London, and he never drank. He said, I am on duty 24/7 for Shilas. People come to me from all over the world for Shilas, and I need to make sure that I'm never drunk, so, or even drink more than I would be able to not pass in a Shilas because I need it. And it's very interesting. But the Bachrim there didn't have that approach, so it's okay. Okay, let's go further. So let's have a look now. So there are a number of poskim that say, look, it says to get drunk, get drunk. You have to get drunk. I'm a rava. This is the riff. B'chai v'nish l'vesum b'puria adelo yada b'imbarach mordecha la'or ha'mon. He just brings the statement. Doesn't elaborate. The Rosh does the same. So once the riff and the Rosh have said the same thing, then you can expect the Shulchan Aruch is going to go that way. Because remember, he paskins like the majority. We had a shir on this a few weeks ago of the Rambam, the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rosh. The Rambam doesn't quite say this, but the Rif and the Rosh do, and we'll see the Shulchan Aruch says the same. The Tor, the son of the Rosh, number 9, mitzvah laharbois v'sudas Purim. You have to make more of your suda on Purim. V'tzarech, and he says it in explicit terms. V'tzarech sheyishdaker. You have to get drunk. Ad the lo yada bein aror haman lebaruch Mordechai. Now the Abadara, who also understands this literally, says, well, I don't understand. Getting drunk is not usually something we encourage. The in Tomer, number 10, if you want to ask, how could the rabbis have said to get drunk? The haloi bekamim makayis b'tarah maskish shehu michshul gadol hashichrus. We don't see that getting drunk has a good track record. It's a big problem in the Tanakh. Noach. This is what happens to people who get drunk. They end up, you know, rolling in the street. The Lot. A Lot ends up getting drunk, and look what happens there. And he says, so how can this be? The Yesh Loma, so I want to suggest, because every Nes that happened on Purim involved people getting drunk, and therefore this is the Brisumi Nisa of Purim. Kibetzchila, at the beginning of the story, Nitrida Vashti Min Amalchus, Alidei Mishte Hayayim. Vashti got upset with Achashverosh because he was drunk, and he asked her to come out. Shneimah, but Yom Hashvi Ketoyv Leiv Amelech, but Yain Amal Haviyet Vashti Vagoma. Uba Esther, and then later Esther came Tachter in place of Vashti. Ali Day Mishne, and there was a feast to celebrate her coming. Vayasa Melech Mishne Gadol Lachol Sarabah Vadavet Mishne Esther. Everything they did over drink and got drunk. Vachein Inyan Haman, so too with Haman. Uma Palasai and his downfall. Ali Day Mishte Hayayan Haya. It was all through drink. Everything happened through drink. It reminds me, when I used to be a lawyer in London, it seemed pretty much the same kind of approach to life. That this was the 1990s. I think things might have sobered up since then. But it seems that every single client meeting, the main objective was to the clients just had to be happy that they get drunk. I even went to a memorial, Nebuch, for one of my non-Jewish colleagues at the time that died from basically his liver packed in because for the last 35 years, Nebuch, he'd been drinking. I mean, the guy had more money than he knew what to do with. And the irony, which seems to be lost on everybody else there, is that every 5 minutes at this memorial, somebody picked up a drink and said, "Let's toast good old David, who we remember him so well." And I'm thinking, does anyone else here see the irony of what's going on here? And nobody did. It was very strange. So he says, the whole thing was drink. That's why they told us we have to get drunk on Purim. Because the nes came through drinking wine. Now, you see here, by the way, wine. It's all focused on wine. And many Meforshim explain that if you're not drinking wine, you're not doing this Pirsumi Nisa. If you're drinking vodka or whiskey or pina coladas or whatever you like, this is not happening because the pirsum in Nisa is on wine. We'll see. There are others that disagree. Okay. So that's why he says that's why they said unusually to get drunk. And the Shulchan Aruch seems to say the same thing. Chayv inish pirsumi puriyad lo yada, etc. In number 11, the Bach. Now the Bach says, okay, the Shulchan Aruch says this, but I have a slightly different kind of touch, a little bit of a different understanding. So look at what he says. The Bach is coming shortly after the Shulchan Aruch. Lefi Anias Daiti. Nira, it seems to my, in my humble opinion, Kepshuta. The Shulchan Aruch said this, the Torah said this, and he's commenting on the Torah. The Torah said, Lehishtaker, explicitly. It's Kepshuta. The Sarin Sheishtaker, Harbe, Adalo Yada Klau. You have no clue. Which is close to Shichra Shalot. Now, that's very shikha. Shichra Shalot is where you completely lost it. Ad kedei kach, you end up in the situation, God forbid, that Lot did. Okay? But not quite there, but not far off there. The Eilitz Muhammad, you shouldn't be so surprised. How could the halacha allow someone to get drunk in this way? Shahari Rabba, Reb Zeiri brings the party there. Hayu Nishdakrim, Achikam Rabba, Vashachtel, Reb Zeiri. He says, but I think it's more appropriate. I respectfully disagree with the Torah on this. Mashikosav Arava God Rabbeinu Ephraim. Let's go with the more sober pshat, he says. The mehach uvda from that story, the shachti rabba rozeira itchalele meimra the rabba. We push this away. The lav shapi lemeved hachin. It's not good to do that. The chen kasvu bal hamaor the haran mishmari, and you have a lot of other people who bring this more sober approach that you should not be getting drunk or certainly not that drunk. The nearer the mehach time is sidei bal hatalmud lahach uvda the rabba rozeira basa meimra the rabba lemeimra, and that's why he put it after. The story came after that statement. And the halacha is not like Rava. So he concludes in the end that you don't have to get so drunk that you don't know the difference between Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai. That we've pushed away. But you do have to drink more than normal. You're marrying with a drink. And you're drunk. Or afilu shikar. Or even like, not just shasui, but shikar. Shikar's okay, he says. And you couldn't get up and speak before the king. Meaning, that's it with davening. Because that's the level that you can't daven anymore. So there's no way you could do anything sensible like that. As long as you've just got some level of das, that's enough. Okay, so it's interesting. He says he sets up a kind of typology here. There's shichra shalot, which is never allowed. That's completely out of it. There's adlo yada, which is a little bit less than that, and he doesn't like that either in the end. And he says shikha, that you don't have any ability to speak before a king, but you still have a das. And he says to go with that, but he's still understanding that you have some obligation to get drunk. The yaivets. Rav Yaakov Emden brings about his father, number 13. Chayev inish lim subapuri adalo yada ben aram mordechai. Shamati mi Avi Moiri. I heard from my father, Avi Moiri Hagon, Zal, Shehu Haya Noihe Bebechurasoi, when he was a young man, he used to do this, Lekayen Mitzvah Zo Kama'amara. He used to do this mitzvah, Lemahadrin. Okay? She'en Dava Yotzin Idei Poshet. Because you can't take things out of the Pashtus. It says that. It says to get drunk. So you have to get drunk. Okay, when the Chacham Tzvi was a bit older, maybe he was a bit more sober. But in his youth, he used to do this kapashte. And the Pri Chadash says very similarly. The Pri Chadash says in number 14. Look here in number 14. V'kasvu, v'shem Rabbeinu Ephraim. Yes, he says, there's that statement of Rabbeinu Ephraim. All the killjoys. I'm adding that in myself. Like, know that. He doesn't mean. D'mehach uvda, d'kam rabba, b'shachte, l'rab zera. From the story, the idchid meimer of the rabba that we pushed aside the halacha. The loy shapidam lebed hachi, and they say you shouldn't get drunk. The ein ze nachon. This is just not correct. Don't bring me this pshetlach that the story is pushing it away. The in Cain amai ishmati Rabbi Zeira miliavid sudel hadari. He asked the question of the eshkol, and he says if that's the case, why would Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi not do sudel without the drink? Vitzdarik loyma. He should have said to him loymalei. Why did he have to say to him rather? Lav kol shaitz v'shaitz v'mishrachish nisa. You can't always guarantee an ace. Kaden shirah u'shiyatza kilkul avon. Since he saw that kilkul avon shvichas damim misibas shichrusam, they got so drunk that he killed him or nearly killed him. Ruoi hayalahem linoatz mamilisubi kulehay. They should have had suda just without all the excess. U'milishdos and without drinking. Without drinking more, it's just a little bit more than normal. They couldn't do that. And we see from this story, not that you shouldn't drink, but that you should drink. That we treat the statement of Rabbi Chayiv Inish as it sounds. But he says, now, having said that that's the halacha. Now he says, but these days, shahadoyrid mekulkalim, the kids these days, he says, they just don't behave properly. He says, so nowadays, ru'oy litfas svaras Rabbeinu Ephraim. So he says, yes, in theory that is the halacha, you're meant to get drunk, but not anymore. Now we have to go with the other pshat, which I hold is wrong, la halacha, but it's better now because people just don't behave properly. Whatever you'd normally drink on Pesach, drink a bit more than that. Okay. By the way, I never had, when I used to have the gap year students for Purim. Now I'm the head of Midrash Rakhav Chaya. So the women are in their 20s. It's a little bit more of a grown-up environment. But when the kids... So I always Purim, I was always very kind of... I kept my eye out, make sure nobody's drinking too much. I don't want maybe drinking or drinking at all. The one time I never thought to be conscious about this was Pesach Seder night. Okay? And we once had a student who was very machmir about our Arba Kosis Yayin. And which we didn't expect to happen, and by Dayenu, she was mama standing on a chair singing Day Dayenu. Okay. So it just goes to show you that even on Yom Tov, you have to be on the ball, and I must tell you that most of the seminaries now, they basically, the rules they give is that no one's allowed to have any drink on Purim. No one gives anyone any drink. Halavai, the yeshivas had that approach, okay? Because the yeshiva guys clearly do not follow that approach, and neither do their rebbeim. The rebbeim basically take the view that no one's going to listen to them, which is true. And therefore they say, what's the point of saying things that no one listens to? Because you... Yeah, well, I don't think that... I think it's more, if we say things and people don't listen, then we just become the people who say things and people don't listen. Which maybe you could say that's already the case. People listen when they want to and they don't when they don't want to. But he says these days we shouldn't be doing it. The Ben Ish Chai, Al Pi Kabbalah, brings you an interesting source here, number 15. Yizharu Lishtoi Tet Vav Kosa Shel Yayin. You should be drinking 15 cups of wine. Communion base osiyot yud and hey, because there's twice the two letters yud and hey, hanirmasim beside shtiya, okay, with the yud and hey. And now he says to you, one second. He says to you, but you can decide how big the cups are. So if you know that you're not going to be able to take 15 glasses, so bring a couple of little shot glasses and have 15 of those of wine. And if you can do more, you can do more. V'yichavin kol ma'asav l'shem shamayim. But you should do everything l'shem shamayim, etc. By the way, in the Ben Ish Chai in Halacha, this is on his Kabbalah Sfarim, he doesn't say anything about drinking wine. And the Sfaradim are also not so into drinking wine, and they say, he obviously realized that l'maisa, practically for people, they shouldn't be drinking. But Kabbalistically, they should drink 15 glasses of wine, but you can have little glasses if you want. Okay, they are the poskim, or a representative sample of the poskim that say, no, it's kapashte, even if they're not so happy about doing it, they say that's the halacha. Others say, no, no, no. That was never the intention of this line of the Gemara. It didn't mean you had to drink that much. It means something a little bit different. Number 16. Says the Rambam, Ketzad chayv sudazon. What should you be doing on Sudas Purim? Sheyochel basa. The first thing he says is have a nice meal. The Rambam was not into excess of anything. Drinking, even music, poetry. He was very kind of sober individual in every sense. He said you should be eating nice food. V'itakin sudana kefi asher timsa yadu. As much as you can afford, not more. You should be preparing a nice meal. V'shoyte yayin. Now, there are those that want to make a diuk. He doesn't say v'yishte, which everybody... The shoyte maybe sounds a little bit less than yishte. You could argue that point either way. It's not clear. Yeah. Okay. Already in the Purim Torah, good. V'shoyte yayin. Actually, yishtaker. But now he says he should get drunk. The yirgam v'shichrusa, but you should fall asleep. So the Rambam already brings in this idea that the real thing is, the real adalo yada is being asleep. Because being asleep somehow can, by not being troubled by all of the problems of this world that stop us from seeing things clearly, the sleep can sometimes give more clarity. And this we'll see as we get towards the Rav Kook at the end, you get this, the paradox that through not knowing, you know more, you know better. It's like with Sniyut, through not revealing, you reveal more. That's a very classic Kabbalistic. Now, the Rambam's not a Kabbalist. I'm not saying he is. But the idea of falling asleep is picked up on by many of the Mephoshim as, that's what we're really trying to do, that we're trying to just fall asleep. Although it does sound from the Rambam that you're falling asleep from the drink and not just going to sleep. We'll see at the end, many Rabbonim today, they have a drink of wine and then they go to bed. And they sleep. Not because of the wine, but because they say, I should sleep on Purim because that's the mitzvah of Adalo Yada. Okay, you can do that. We'll see soon. Rav Willig says that's what he likes to do on Purim. We'll get to him soon. Fine. The Hagos Maimonides on the Rambam says, it says, when it says, v'chayev inish, it doesn't say, quotes the Rav Yah, it doesn't mean you're chayev. It doesn't mean it's an obligation. It means it's a mitzvah. It's not something you have to do. It's something which you can do, but don't think that it's actually an obligation. And then you come in with all of the other perushim of what this might mean. Look at the Abadar number 80. V'yesh v'forshim ki aror haman oyle l'minyan baruch Mordechai. It's about gematrius. If you can't add up the letters of aror haman and baruch Mordechai, which add up to the same gematria, then already you're yotzer. Rotzaloy ma'ad shalo yad l'chavin ha'cheshvan. Okay, some people can't do that when they're stone cold sober, honestly. But it's interesting. I think the Mukubalim, I'm not sure the Abu Dharam was in that crowd, but maybe he was. I don't know so much about him. They don't add up the words of gematrias or the letters. They see the number in the word. It's very clear. Like, we have a gematria, someone gives it, and we're thinking like 1 plus 90 plus 50. I don't think that's what they did. I think when they saw words, they like almost like colors, that the gematria of the word actually is what would jump out at them is what they were reading. Because every now and then you see this like whole sentence is the gematria, which is the same as this. Like, who thought to sit and work that out? I think that they managed to look at things differently. It was almost like music. You know, every word had a different harmony and a different... I just think it's a different way of looking at things, which is why we don't get gematria. Gematria to us feels a bit silly. You know, adding up this and adding up this. I think they saw it almost as a musical thing. There was a story, Oliver Sacks, who wrote The Man Who Thought His Wife Was a Hat, has a story in that book about two men who were on the spectrum in all sorts of ways and could not do all sorts of things that regular people do, but they used to speak to each other. Twins, I think they were brothers. They used to speak to each other in numbers. They used to just say numbers, numbers, back numbers, numbers. And he realized that every number that they threw out at each other was a prime number. They communicated to each other in prime numbers, which is fascinating. And for them, when they said this prime number, they said, like, you know, 613. I just picked that out of, you know, 613. Never thought of that. It's like this whole, you know, each prime number has its own, like, flavor, almost, which is just a way that we don't see things. Pythagoras was a mystic. There's a mystical, you know, study of Pythagoreanism. If I'm saying the word right. Which we, again, we think of Pythagoras as something we learned in second grade, where the sum of the square of the hypotenuse is equal to the sum of the squares of the end of it. But no, Pythagoras is a mystical system of thought. Anyway, we're getting beyond ourselves here. What's that? Your gematrias are the same. You worked it out. Obviously, that's your yotzei the mitzvah. Well, maybe not. You should be able to not work it out. Okay, fine. Have a look in number 19. Says the Abu Dara. Alternatively, Bala min hagos tosef. He brings the Bala min hagos. He says, it seems to me, shepiut haya she'al habayit echad oinim arum haman va'al habayit acher oinim baruch Mordechai. There was a song, and there was a verse, and at the end of each verse, you had to scream back, Baruch Mordechai, or Ar Haman. And when people started getting mixed up, then, which some people would on the first verse, then you're Yotzei. Okay, so that's what it means. Okay, fine. V'tzorek Tzilusa, you need a certain clarity. Shepamim She'ein Adam Iskavim V'tayim, you make a mistake, and that's when you get to it. And Tosfos brings down that there was a long piyut that people used to say, he quotes Yerushalmi, that this is, and if you couldn't remember all of the words for this long piyut, then that was, the piyut include Baruch Mordechai, Arur Haman, Arur Ezeresh, Bruchim Kala Yehudim, etc., etc. So it was actually quite a feat. And you reach the level of already Ad Lo Yada much, much earlier than getting drunk. It's the minute you can't do all of these complicated thinking tasks on Purim, you're already Yotzei. And the Aruch HaShulchan brings that down. In Gimel, he talks about the song that people could say all the words. Dalet, I'll just bring out in number 21. What's better for us? Meaning, we're almost overwhelmed with Hakaras HaTov. Is it the downfall of our enemies? Or is it our own good fortune? Is it the defeat of the people we fight, or is it the fact that we live in Eretz Yisrael and we have what? Meaning, it's almost a sense of being overwhelmed with love for Hashem that you don't know what to thank Hashem for most. Okay, so they are meforshim that say yes, drink, but drink less. And then you have the meforshim that say no drinking or very little drinking. Have a look in the Meiri. Until you feel you lack nothing in the world, we are definitely not obligated to get drunk. And to debase ourselves through that, you call that simcha. We're not obligated in nonsense, simcha that makes people spout nonsense. Ela simcha shel tanug, but simcha of joy, okay? Shenagiyah mitoycha la'avas Hashem Yisparach, that we reach avas Hashem, v'hoidah la'anisim she'asu lanu. She'asa lanu, we're meant to reach that stage, that we're so thankful, but we're not meant to get drunk. Drink is just a dangerous thing. Number 23, Chayv Adam Nesum Bepuri, it says the Kalboi, and the Olchus Chayim, lo she'ishtakar, you must not get drunk. She'hashichrut isur gamur. Being drunk is absolutely prohibited. There is no worse avera. Look what it causes in society. It causes people to behave like behemoths, and they have the immorality. And people kill each other. The amount of violent crime, I grew up in England, I don't know what it's like in other places, between usually men, because they're drunk so much, that they have in places where people just have drink cultures. Baruch Hashem, Israel, we have a lot of things we need to fix, but we don't, and we have to be careful that we don't develop a culture where people drink to that degree, that they're constantly, you know, sinking into this behavior. Or Lakama Aveira Zulasam, and so many other things. Actually, Yishka Yom Limudo, just have a little bit more than normal. Ma'at, just a little bit. Kidesh Yir Belismach, Lusamechev Yomim. It's not that you have to be drunk, it's you have to lose any kind of inhibitions that you have to be misamech other people. Yeah? That when people come to the door, you don't feel, oh, it's a bit awkward. You just, you have this sense of warmth that you want to help people and greet people. That's the key. That's the misamech evyonim. V'yinachemotam, and you console them. Okay, v'yidaber alibam, and you speak to their hearts. Oh, hiya simcha shleima. That's the full simcha. We feel often very repressed. Well, I'm English, so I can't speak for everybody else, but we barely allow ourselves to get excited about our own family or anything. But people feel awkward a lot. So the wine should just enable people to feel this sense of that we're all brothers, we're all sisters, we're all the same family. And that's a very nice idea, he said, but God forbid it's not getting drunk. The Beis Yosef, which I'm not going to read you. Now the Shulchan Aruch said just the straight line. Chayav, Adam, Levi, Sumi, Bepuria, da 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 da. The Mishnah says no. Actually, I go with all of the Meforshim that say you shouldn't get drunk at all. And the Meforshim ask on that and say, well, how do you read that? The Bet Yosef is meant to be the detailed version, and the Shulchan Aruch is meant to be the summary, and they say two quite different things. So you see from here, A, that you have to read them together. You can't just read the Shulchan Aruch and think you've done the job, because the Bet Yosef informs the Shulchan Aruch a lot. And B, that's another reason why people didn't like the Shulchan Aruch. Because they felt, well, he gives you half the story, or a very, very, very summarized version, and you really have to be reading something like the Bet Yosef. So what does the Shulchan Aruch say? Number 25. And we bring the Ramot as well. Chayim initially v'sumim b'puriyad de lo yad de bein aru rahman abaruch Mordechai. Says the Ramot, v'yeshem rim de ein etzarek l'ishtekar kach. The Ramot brings in for the Ashkenazim, don't get so drunk. Ele sheyishte yotem elimudai, drink a little bit more, v'yish, and go to sleep. U'mitok sheyasham, because she went to sleep, ein yadei bein aru rahman abaruch Mordechai. He brings from the Rambam, you should go to sleep. So long as you are doing it l'shem shemayim, it is fine. He said, but you, my advice is drink a little bit and go to sleep. And we'll see many of the Ashkenazi poskim were very makpid on that. We'll see in a minute who they were. They just had a little bit and they went to sleep. Interestingly, there is a statement in Bava Metzia, in number 26, the Amar Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the Hani Talas Mili Avidi Rabbanon Lemshanu B'Lahu. There are three things which a Tamid Chacham is allowed to be a little bit less than truthful on. The Masechet, meaning somebody says, "Ooh, I hear you're a big Tamid Chacham. You've learned all of Shas," and let's say he has, he's allowed to say, "No, not so much. No, not really Tamid Chacham." That he's allowed to lie on. Bepuria. We'll see what that is in a minute. Ubu Shviza. Shviza is, even if somebody down the road is an unbelievable host, then a Tamid Chacham shouldn't be too quick to say that to people, because people will bombard them with invitations. Being sensitive to other people's needs and limitations. What's Puria? Says the Marasha, what is Puria? So, at the Pshat level, it means Puravu. Right. Things which are to do with, private issues, which is nobody else's business. But he says, maybe not. The Yeshloima, Apimashikasa Peri Kama the Megillah, the Chayiv Adam and Sumvi Puri Adalo Yadabin Arahama. Maybe this is Puria means Purim, not Puravu. Avidi Rabbanon, so rabbis are allowed to act the Mashanin in a way which is not truthful. Loima the Loyada, and say that they don't know the difference between Arahaman and Baruch Mordechai. Gamim Hu Einamuvusamba called Kafi Yada. Meaning you're allowed to pretend to be drunk. Even though it's misleading, but you're not allowed to be drunk. You're allowed to pretend to be drunk. It was very interesting that is also bringing a note of caution. The Aruch HaShulchan, I'll leave you to read in your own time. I want to make sure we have time for the last few sources. He brings the different Meforshim that we've seen. He's very unhappy with too much drinking. Even though he says it sounds from some of these sources that that's what you have to do, just read the bottom two lines of number 28. Ulemasa, in practice, Yesh le drache min hashichrus, you should be careful not to get drunk. Ubefrachti es yesh, and you certainly shouldn't be drinking liquor, whiskey, vodka, schnapps. He says you shouldn't be drinking that. Shebeshichrusa yitmalei ki v'tsoa. Because this is what really gets people to behave badly. Meaning, actually, most people, by drinking wine, they actually taka just kind of fall asleep, dozy from the wine, before they get into any serious problems. But when you're downing shots of vodka and whiskey and whiskey and vodka and all that kind of stuff, says that you shouldn't be doing. Drink a little bit of wine, go to sleep a little bit, and that's you're good to go. You should know, by the way, the Lubavitcher Rebbe drank vodka on Purim, so he didn't pass like the Aruch HaShulchan, okay? But he was no doubt able to do it in a way which was appropriate. But he did get drunk on Purim, no question. The Bir HaLocher on the top of page 6 says, just make sure you don't prevent yourself from doing any mitzvahs. Maybe you'll be too drunk to daven Maariv, too drunk to bench, etc. It says once you can't do a mitzvah, and that's interesting because the level of drink where you can't daven Maariv is if you're not able to be to the daven mipnei HaMelech. So he says you have to be careful not to cross that line. I brought you in the footnotes, which is actually quite interesting, different statements from different modern poskim. The idea that you have a little drink and then you go to sleep. This was the reported practice of many of the poskim of the 20th century, Rav Avadi Yosef, Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Stipler Gomer, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. That's what they did. Rav Eliashiv would just sleep in the middle of the day and then have a little bit of wine for Suda. He said, I don't even need to sleep from the wine, which is interesting. I just need to sleep. Let me read what Rav Willig says. We would do well, it's in the footnote in number 25, we would do well to follow the advice of the Ramah. I personally drink a sizable cup of wine together with breakfast on Purim morning. That's fine, okay? And then I go to sleep immediately. This fulfills the Mishnah element of drinking wine on Purim. Then to fulfill the Simcha aspect, we have a little more wine than usual at the Suda later in the day. And I believe this is the preferred way to fulfill the mitzvah. A very, very kind of a halachic man-like, have breakfast, drink a glass of wine, go to sleep, get up, etc. Yeah, in your cornflakes, listen, whatever. I'm not going to argue with you. Rav Shechter similarly. Wine ad delo yada does not really constitute an independent mitzvah, but merely a detail within Suda's Purim. Okay. Many people get stone drunk on Purim, but not as part of the Suda, which says not a mitzvah. Many others get drunk on the night of Purim, when most assume that there is no mitzvah of Suda at all. Why are you getting drunk at night? According to Rav Elbel Soloveitchik, these practices are improper. And then he says, getting drunk on Purim outside the context of the Suda would be the same as getting drunk on July 4th. Very strong language, etc. Therefore, he also says you should not be doing what people do. I brought you at the bottom of that footnote, Rav Osher Weiss. Rav Osher Weiss, he says here, men need to drink, women are not required to drink, children definitely should be prohibited to drink. Interesting. And I think children should be up until the age of about 25, actually. But I don't think I'm going to get anywhere with that. Listen, they do say in psychology, emerging adulthood is certainly with men until 30. So until 30, you have no guarantee. I see this in Shidduchim all the time. Until 30, there's no guarantee that they won't behave like a teenager. Okay? So maybe that should be true for the mitzvah of drinking wine as well. And then he says, I must say a few words about Adalad Yadis, Lo Yadis, says Rav Weiss, because I was personally never drunk in my life. Okay? And he is Hasidish as well. Almost all the Rishonim clearly indicate that this halacha should not be taken literally. Why did the Rishonim write such far-fetched pshatim? You have the gematria and the this. What's it all about? When the Gemara writes, Chayv Inish Livasume Adlo Yadu, why would we say, he's to become drowsy and then go to sleep, and when you sleep you don't know. It's all like fetched. It's only because the Rishonim and the great poskim totally reject drunkenness. And that's why they went to extremes. It was posher to them. If you become drunk, how are you going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How are you going to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How will you be happy on Simchas HaChag? The majority of persons say a person should not be totally drunk. It is not acceptable in halacha. Okay, so, I say this every year, and I'm not sure anyone listens, but that seems to be the position of most persons. But let's have a look in the last 12 or so minutes at an alternative focus. Bottom of page 6. Like I said to you before, there is a word in Aramaic for drunk. In the psukim that deal with people being drunk, I brought you number 30, which is Noach, being drunk, it uses the Aramaic word verave. Rave is the word for drunk. I brought you number 31 when the brothers and Yosef drank, and he says vayishkuru imoy. Okay, they got drunk with him. He uses the word veravayu. Veravayu. That's the word to be drunk in Aramaic. That is lizrave, not lizbose. Okay, and the livasume. It's not livasume. It's something quite different. So what does he mean, livasume, if it doesn't mean necessarily to get drunk? And again, there is a perfectly good word in Aramaic for getting drunk, and it is not livasume. So have a look at the context of the Megillah. Number 33. Page 733. This is the Gemara in Megillah that we've been quoting again and again and again and again today, but look at the context. Says Abaya, Amar Abaya, Kinafki mebeimar, when I left the master's house. He's talking about leaving the house here of Rabbah. When he left Rabbah's house, which is interesting, because Rabbah is the one that went to Purim Sudah with Rabbi Zeira. So when we left Rabbah's house, generally, Hava Savana, we were so stuffed, we were so full, we were so full of all this wonderful food that either Rabbah or Mrs. Rabbah made for dinner. In fact, he says, Kimasil, but we were completely full. But Kimasil Ahasan, but when we went to the next house, they were kind of, hopping around different houses. I'm not sure this was necessarily on Purim. Maybe it was. We went to the next house. Karayuli Shisin Tsai, they brought me 60 plates. The Shisin Manikadera of 60 different kinds of food. The Achribu who shit in Palugi, and I had 60 portions. Meaning, I thought I was full from all the wonderful food that I had in the last place. But when I got to the next place, I was realized I was completely, ready to eat even more. Ubishuli basraisa, and the last dish they brought out, havikorolei sli kadar. It was called sli kadar, some kind of pot roast, maybe a sweet, something with honey in it, like a dessert. Uboile michas tsar abashay, and I polished it off so much, I wanted to chew the plates afterwards. He licked the plate clean. What do I get from this, says Abaya, that I thought I was full, and then I went to the next house, and whoa, and I ate like a king. Amar Abaya, Abaya says, Hain da Amri Inshi, that's what people say, Kafin Anya lo velo yada. Poor people are hungry, and they don't know how hungry they really are. But then he says, maybe that's not the lesson here. Inami, alternatively, Rafcha levesima shchicha, or kashachiach. Meaning, Ravshi Levesima, Levesima, Bisumen, that you've always got room for something nice, for a bit of dessert. There's always room for dessert. Yeah? No matter how full you are, I couldn't eat another thing, and they bring out that chocolate mousse. Maybe just a little bit. Okay? Okay? So you learn from this that there's always room for dessert, no matter how full you are. And that's the word it means, levesima. Something which is extra special, extra fun, extra delicious. Extra delicious. And then it says, they used to switch their sudas with each other. Okay, that's nice. They should give each other food for matanas, so mashalach manas. And then it says, so the word levesume in this halacha we've been discussing comes just a few words after the same expression, meaning dessert, something special, something exciting, something sweet, something that you can't resist. That's what it means. And therefore you can't put these two statements and separate them. Rav Rimon stresses, it doesn't say anywhere to get drunk. Look in number 34, he brings from the Ariza, which is also, we'll see, the Rav Avadi Yosef also. Look in number 34. Rav Rimon. Vehinei dikdeku chachmei ha-gemara b'lashonim. The rabbis were very careful b'lashonim ha-tzach v'ha-kadosh. In their holy language, and the words they used. The amru livesumi, they said livesumi. The loy amru, and they did not say chayiv inish lihishtaka b'purim. They never said that. V'gam ha-arizal b'kavanas ha-shtia b'yom zeh al derech ha-sodom. When the Arizal writes in his kavanas on this day, kasav b'erheitiv b'lashonim ha-kadosh, he writes absolutely clearly, V'lo yishtaker, do not get drunk, ela yitbasem. Yitbasem, not yishtaker. It means something different. This is the halacha, and it means that you have to be mitbasem. What could that mean? Slanim Rebbe, number 36, says, Va'admor mislanim hier akach, shechayiv livsume bepurim, hu tamua, that's very strange. Shehari Purim hu yom gadol v'kadosh ad ma'od. How amazingly important is Purim in the spiritual world? V'harbe inyanim nisgavim kululim ba, so many important spiritual ideas, shehu kayom kippurim. We've all heard that idea. It's like Yom Kippur. The Yom Kabbalah Satorah, it's like the day we receive the Torah. We talked about that last week. The Hadar Kiblu Baratzon, when they receive the Torah willingly. For who gam ace mechias amalek, it's the time we destroy our enemies. The lichayra darush lechalze harbe harbe yishuv adas. This needs a lot of thought. What on earth can we be doing on Purim that marks the elevated nature of the day? The eich ze mityashev imachiv levesumet Purim. How do we then square this with the obligation of lehit baser? The alkein hitzi aldas avoida or aldvar avoida, and therefore he advised people in practice his chassidim sheyesh lo meshemurumas beloshen hamama. What does it say in the Gemara? Chayev inish levesumet bepuria. The loy amru levesumet bayayin. You don't get. You have the lift from wine. You have the lift from Purim. Chayev inish levesumet bepuria. You have to get high on Purim. Not high on Purim, but from Purim. From the Purim. Yet the Purim is giving you the lift. Not the drink, not the stimulation from outside. Sheishtaker mihapurim atzma. You get drunk from the Purim itself, from the ideas of Purim, from the excitement of Purim. Bechina shechura v'loi miyayin. Shichrus v'loi miyayin. It's shichrus is not from wine. Ki im mikol hagiluyim anisgavim shel Purim shehein v'bechinas achat. There's one day a year that we can reach this level. You've got to get drunk on that somehow, on the atmosphere, on the ideas, on what you can achieve on Purim. And the Yalkut Yosef brings the same idea in the Arizal. He never said that you should get drunk. He says lehit basem means to have this exciting lift from Purim. And I want to end with Rav Kook, because Rav Kook is incredible, and it's very, very applicable to our days. And in the last 5 minutes, I want to read with you this Rav Kook. Which I think will leave us on a high even before Purim. Okay. V'ha amra hanitzchit, this eternal statement, this summons, lech knois et kol hayudim, that Esther says, go gather the Jews together. He muchrachat lachyos otanu oipam. It has to elevate us, breathe life into us again and again. Ularamamenu mikol shifluteinu, shifluteinu, must lift us from our low state, from our dust, from our own state of depression. V'chol ha'omer, shesheka bada Haman harosha ba'anu. And if you say that Haman was lying when he said, yeshno am echad, mufuzar o mufurad. What does that mean, am echad? There is one people, but they're scattered, and they're different from each other. What does it mean? Are they or aren't they? Are they amichad? Are they one people? Or are they mefuzar and mefurad? How can they both go together? Eino eletoy, if you say that that's a lie, you're making a mistake. Be'emet mefuzar and mefuradu. Yes, the Jewish people are scattered and divided. The ha'am ha'echad. And they're one people. Aval b'chal zeh amichadu. Nevertheless, this one people that is scattered and divided is one people. V'shem atoma, you might turn around and say, Eich yitachein shiyeh shnei afachim benoseh echad. Can these two paradoxical things live together? Am echad, mitzad echad. On the one hand, they're one people. Umufuzar, umufurad, mitzad hashini. And they're scattered and divided on the other hand. Al titma alachefetz, don't be surprised by that. Yeshnam pelayim ba'olam. Because there are paradoxes in the world. There are wonders in the world. Meaning a paradox, very important to understand, as a Kabbalist also, Rav Kook embraces a paradox. Normally when you have A and B and they differ from each other, so you have to either go like A or go like B or find some way to harmonize them. A paradox doesn't say that. It says A is true and the opposite is B and B is true and they remain true and they feed each other. Somehow A enables B to succeed and B enables A to succeed, even though they seem to be saying the opposite of each other. And you sustain that paradox. That's very much Lashon Ratzav Ashov in Halacha. It goes back and forth and back and forth. And this is what he means. Hamon shakol hazmanim, okay? Hamanim, sorry, shakol hazmanim. The Hamans of every generation. Shehem poigim banu be'eres sinasam. And they strike us with their venomous hatred. Especially in this time, this transitional time, he's talking about now we've come to Eretz Israel, but we don't yet have a Geula Shalema. We're on a trajectory towards Geula, but we're still in a Ma'avar. Those enemies, those Hamans that want to kill us, Hein Toisim Ad Esat Sad Achalash, they take the weak side of us, Lefi Shehu Had Sad HaPumbi VeHayadua, because that's the one that's well known. You open the newspapers, you open the Jerusalem Post, you never see any good news. I mean, I'm not criticizing the Jerusalem Post, okay, but I'm saying you open the newspapers, it's all, this is terrible, and that's terrible, and this is terrible, and that's terrible. It can make you want to just like, you know, go crazy. You read the news. He says, yes, and you know something? Our enemies also read the same news. The talks say that we're divided, and we saw Hamas did what they did when they did it, because they looked at what happened in the summer before. They said explicitly, they think these people are so divided, they'll never unite. Yes, that's the weak side of us. But through these other people, through these enemies that come at us when they think we're divided, we come to understand, we have a hidden, united soul, nefesh umatit gadola, as a mighty national soul, and we've forgotten it. We've forgotten our united soul, and our enemies remind us of that. This is full of strength, this soul. This has the power to pick us up. To revive us to the strength even more than we ever were. And this strength will fight. This will fight all the Amalekim, all those people who want to kill us, who just want to prey on the weak, on people who can't defend themselves, people who are unable to fight back. That's who they want to kill. This could have been written this year. The Hayahadut Hatzmira. And the hidden Judaism, have built in dat gam lanu la'atzmeinu, which often we forget ourselves that we have. Zot haneshama gedola shel ha'uma gedola. This is the soul of the people. Hanosat et sebel ha'olam. And this soul of the Jewish people, we carry the burden of the world. The et or ha'alam, and the light of the world, betocha in us. Meaning the whole world is obsessed with us. The whole world is interested in our struggle in different directions. He tivadalanu, this will make known to us, v'yamim hagedolim halalu, in these days, that's all. V'hamakom habilti yadua, this will all be known to us, and the place that was hidden, shebenefesh u'ma, this hidden place in the nation's soul, will be known. Tavol lanu habracha, will bring to us the bracha, shaleknos et yikola yudim, this will be our bracha. U'mitach ha'ma'amad shel adlo yada v'in arur hama l'baruch Mordechai. What does that mean? Through not knowing the difference between arur hama and baruch Mordechai, tova hakara elyona, we will have an elevated understanding. We'll find the hidden Jew inside us. The ach el ach yitvada, and brother will become known to brother. The yad le yad titaten, the hakol gadol yishama, kumu v'na alet ziyan et beit elokeinu. I'll read this in Hebrew because Rabbi Goldschneider is here and I'm already over time, I apologize. Who could be yimei mor v'hadasi yema gam hayom. Yeshno am echad mu'ugad v'gibush, v'gubush, v'gubash. Oymed b'chaseinu livnot et kol harisoseinu. It will rebuild our land. Me'otzreinu hapnimi hasamui min ha'ayin. Asher bognuza hi abracha shel leiknos et yirudim. Then he ends on a high. U'mechayv enish libesum b'piri adelo yada bein aru harman l'morach Mordechai. V'ne'ema v'nomar l'chayim, l'chayim, l'chayim toivim, u'l'shalom l'chol Yisrael v'amru amvim ru'amei. He says, it's very, very exciting at the end. And could have been written just this week. I wish you all a Purim Sameach.